Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. I am Brian Fritz. Appreciate everybody for listening in, for downloading the podcast and everything else. I am currently here in Orlando, Florida, awaiting Hurricane Matthew, as we are just hours away from Matthew hitting the shores of the state and making its way northwest, and it's going to hit Orlando. As I'm taping this, it is just after 4 o'clock East Coast time on Thursday, and we should really start feeling the effects of the storm probably around 10 o'clock tonight, maybe 11 o'clock. Then overnight, it's going to get pretty bad, and it's going to stay that way until, at least halfway through Friday and, throughout the day. And then Friday night, it looks like it's going to calm down. We'll see how bad it gets here in Orlando. The forecast right now is for obviously heavy rains and for winds around 75 miles an hour. I've seen 77. So for everybody that's out there here in the state of Florida or anywhere that's in the path of the hurricane, please stay safe. And I hope that everybody, if you're on the coast right now, get the hell out of Dodge. Don't hang around there. Just get out of there and get someplace that can be a lot safer. And hopefully everybody stays safe and there isn't that much damage, especially to people. But this is one heck of a storm that's coming our way. And I've only been through this one other time years ago when it was Hurricane Charley. And that was really the first one that really went through Orlando. And this one's supposed to be worse. And like I said, hopefully it doesn't do too much damage. Obviously I'm expecting a lot of rain and a lot of wind. And, I live in an apartment complex, so I don't think it's going to do too much damage here, but obviously it has the potential to. Not as much as what it's supposed to do on the coast, where they're talking about winds of 120 miles an hour, maybe even more. So this is a very serious storm. You know it's serious, and if you've lived here for a while in the Central Florida area, you know it's a serious storm when Universal Studios and Disney are closing their parks. And it was funny because even earlier today, there were some people talking about, I don't care about the weather. I'm still planning on going to Halloween Horror Nights at Universal Studios. And I was thinking, no, you're not. No, you're not. There's no way that's going to happen. There's no way they're going to allow that to happen. And they're not allowing it to happen. So the parks are closed. The parks are actually closing up here pretty shortly. And they're not even going to open back up until Saturday. But you know that's when it's a serious thing. When the theme parks close down, it gets super serious around here. And like I said before, hope everybody stays safe. Nobody gets injured. And we all get through the storm together. And we've seen how the storm is affecting wrestling. NXT had to postpone a show. TNA has their tapings going on. They did a taping this afternoon. They're not doing one tonight. They're not doing any on Friday. And then I believe they're doing a taping now. I think it's Saturday night, and then they're doubling up on Sunday so they can get all their tapings out of the way, get those in the can, and then they can move forward, using all those tapings. And that, I believe, is going to take them through the end of the year, along with maybe some best ofs around the holiday season. So that's going to take them through the rest of the year. So, I've got an interview coming up here with Bobby Roode. I wanted to talk a little bit more about TNA first, and then everybody can hear the interview I did with Bobby Roode, which has been on Sporting News, not the audio version, but I did want to get the audio version out here on the podcast. But when it comes to TNA, I mean, Michael and I talked about it on the most recent podcast that we did, and, all the rumors that are out there, what is the future of TNA? Is the video library being sold to WWE or not? Is Billy Corgan becoming the majority owner of the company? There's a lot of ifs and buts and whats and who knows, and we'll find out kind of scenarios that are going on right now. Dixie Carter vehemently denied anything was going on. Bob Ryder, behind the scenes with the company, he went on Twitter as well, and he denied the reports that a sale was going down. So right now we're just at a point to see what's going to happen. Just because they say it's not happening doesn't mean it's not happening. But it's just right now there's a lot of rumors. There's just a lot of rumors. And it's fun to talk about. It's fun to speculate. But it's all they are right now, are a lot of rumors. I know that Dixie Carter has fought and fought and fought to keep control of this company. And I'm sure she's still fighting. It's just trying to find a way to get the money so she can keep control of the company and keep it moving forward. And Billy Corgan has made no secrets about it. He wants this company. He wants to buy TNA Wrestling, and he's going to rebrand it. And that's not going to change the company when it comes to, things are going to be, so much better right off the bat if he is able to get control of the company and then change the name. I think that's going to help, but it's not like it's going to be, they're not TNA anymore. So, things are just going to immediately change and be so much better for them right off the bat. It's just a name change. I mean, bottom line is it can help. I think it will look better, but still a long way to go, even if he gets the company and trying to turn it around, trying to make it profitable, trying to make it something that where every couple of months you're not wondering, hey, are we going to be able to do TV tapings? Are we going to be able to do a pay-per-view? Do we have the money to do this? And that's what they've got to get out of right now. They just have to find stable ownership. They have to find other means of revenue, and they got to figure out a way where they can generate money and they can just move forward and get their feet up from, get their feet under them a little bit more. Even though the product has been better as of late, they still got a long way to go. A long way to go. And I'm not even talking about TNA trying to compete with WWE. I'm just talking about them being a good, sustainable wrestling company that is going to be around for a long time to come. They've been around for 12 years already. I give them credit for that. But a lot has to change for them to continue going forward. And that means figuring out the ownership with all these different parties that are involved right now between Dixie and Corrigan and Aero Lux, and even the Fight Network out of Canada is involved. So, I mean, they've got to figure it out. They need good, stable ownership. They need to get all on the same page, and they need to move forward. Now, whether or not they're going to sell the video library to WWE, I don't know. It's been rumored out there. It's been talked about. WWE has definitely talked to them about it. I don't even know if Billy Corgan would want that to happen for him to own the company. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe that's something that Dixie has entertained. Maybe she's talked to him, to Corgan, about it. Maybe she hasn't. It sure feels like there are problems between Billy and Dixie right now from the standpoint of trying to get on the same page because they both want to own the company. And I think in the language of some of the things that Billy has said, that they're not exactly on the same page. When he's talking about, I don't know if we're going to have a pay-per-view. I don't know if we're going to have TV tapings. We've got to figure out what's going on with the ownership of this company. And maybe it's going to be WWE getting involved here. And he's talking about that in public interviews. And she's going on Twitter and saying, I don't like to, talk about speculation publicly. It's more than speculation. The president of your company is talking about it. So there's just a lot of things going on with the company. Anything that does happen, I don't think would be imminent. I don't think it's going to happen within the next few days, but it's obviously something to keep track of. I mean, no matter what, TNA has to figure out something with its ownership by the end of the year. Once these TV tapings are done and they need to have more tapings, they got to have the money to do more tapings. They just have to figure all this out. And it's a lot of red tape to deal with. The most valuable thing they have right now is that video library. So whether or not they want to give that up, that's a big question mark. I don't know if they really want to. I don't know if it's something that's a necessity. And I don't even know how much WWE is willing to pay for it. Because if I am them, I'm just sitting there going, The WWE network works perfectly fine without the TNA library. Would we like to have it? Of course. But we're not going to overpay for it. So does that mean that they sit there and they throw out a number and say, this is what we're offering? Take it or leave it. And if they say, we're not going to take it, WWE can just sit back and say, we don't need it. What are you doing right now that's making it money for yourselves? Are you really making a lot of money off the library the way that you have it right now? And if something happens in the future of TNA and say they go into bankruptcy, say the company goes away, worst case scenario, then WWE can go to bankruptcy court and they can buy it. And they won't have to pay top dollar for it. So, you know, that, like I said, that is a worst case scenario. And we're still trying to figure all of this out. And everybody's going to keep it quiet. And I think the biggest thing to look at right now is just to see who is going to be running this company going forward. Is it going to continue to exist in 2017? And who is going to be the owner of the company? I get the feeling, and I think a lot of other people get this feeling as well, is that the talent would love to see Billy Corgan be the majority owner of TNA. I think more people agree with his vision, and I think it's time for a change in that company. But that's easier said than done. Dixie Carter has owned TNA for a long time. She has had a big hand in that company, and she continues to be the majority owner. Whether or not she has the funds to do that going forward is a huge question. And that's why Corgan is so involved, and that he wants to own it. He's got his own ideas. He's got his own vision. And that's where they're trying to figure everything out right now. And until we get something a little bit more concrete, something more substantial, it's all just rumor and innuendo right now. And we can all just kind of kick back and see where all the cards fall. That's all we can do right now, is see what happens. Bottom line, we want TNA to be around, whether it's even called TNA. We want it to be around. We want there to be this wrestling company that is able to showcase a lot of different talent. It's something that's different from everybody else. They're going to be different from WWE, and they're going to be different from New Japan. They'll be different from PWG, from Ring of Honor, from every place else. Everybody has their own niche and their own style. And that's what we want to see. And we want to see them do well. But they've got a lot of work to get to that point. A lot of work to get to that point, to say the least. So, earlier in the week, I did have the opportunity to speak with Bobby Roode. And I've been wanting to talk to Bobby for a while since he joined NXT. So I have to thank WWE PR staff for hooking that up for me. But I think I'm like a lot of other people in that we got to know Bobby Roode very well in the early days of TNA Wrestling. And he had been such a stalwart for that company for so long. And, you know, I met Bobby personally. I think the first time I ever met him or talked to him was probably back, I want to say 2004, 2005, somewhere in that range. And even then, I mean, you could just see the talent in that guy. And I remember having this conversation with him one time, and that I said, who did you grow up watching that you tried to emulate when it comes to your style? And he said, oh, Mr. Perfect. You know, loved Kurt Hennig growing up. And I said, yeah, I could see that. But to me, you remind me of Arn Anderson. You remind me of the Enforcer. And I remember Bobby just kind of had this little revelation, you know, kind of like, that's interesting. And I could see him bobbing his head and like, oh, I didn't even think about that. But he obviously liked Arn. I mean, he definitely liked Arn. And, you know, I think everybody has their favorites, but you could see both of those styles within Bobby Roode. You can see how talented of a guy he is. And we've seen that go along throughout his entire career within TNA and now over in NXT. And I'm glad that things are going so well for Bobby. I think he's a really great guy. And I'm glad I got an opportunity to talk to him again. It had been a while since I had talked to Bobby Roode. And it's a whole different Bobby Roode from the standpoint of just seeing him in NXT, seeing him in a different place, and seeing this newfound fame that he has, you know, with his awesome, awesome theme music with Glorious Bobby Roode and Glorious Domination for his music. So here's the interview with myself talking with Bobby Roode. And yes, we do talk a lot about him now being Glorious and that music and everything, but also talk about the change of scenery for him when it comes to his move over to NXT and WWE, and if we think we will one day see him on the WWE main roster. So Here is my conversation with Bobby Roode. Bobby, thanks for the time, and long time no talk. How's everything going?
Great. How are you?
I am doing well. So could you imagine how much one word has changed your life?
No, but it's glorious.
Yeah, it is. So what was your reaction the first time you heard that song, and how did the glorious part of that come about? Was that something that you helped with, or was that something that just the artist did?
Well, neither really. It was funny. You know, when I got five demo songs sent to me from Neil Law, who's in charge of the music in WWE, and I chose the song. It was the same song that Neil actually liked the most, and we kind of shot it up the ladder and got to Triple H. And before this, I had a conversation with Triple H about really what I kind of wanted to do there as far as character-wise and stuff. And I kind of go back to the ropes and the kind of character that I portrayed in the past and I felt most comfortable with. And he liked it. And I got to TV the next time after I picked the music and I was around ringside. And Triple H said that he had another song that he wanted me to hear, that the song that we chose, he didn't really feel like it fit. So it was around ringside, and I had a chance to listen to the song, and it was obviously totally different than the original song that I picked, and very different. So I listened to it. I liked it. I remember Michael Hayes being there. He listened to it. Obviously, he had a very creative side to him, and he loved it. Triple H loved it, so I thought, hey, why not? Let's do this. So we did it, and it just kind of happened that way. And song is just caught on fire, and you know, it's one of those things that just kind of evolved.
Yeah, it's crazy that how much, you know, even just music can evolve into something that becomes essential into what you're doing these days. And we've seen how much this has gone on, you know, on social media. It's gone viral. Are you surprised by the impact that it's had so far, and how far it has gone?
Yes, totally, and pleasantly surprised. You know, when your song, your entrance song that you're a part of, goes number one on the soundtrack on the iTunes soundtrack charts, it's kind of surreal. So, you know, obviously the song fits the character fits the song. It all has kind of come together, and in a way has made my job a little bit easier.
So how much credit do you give Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa for the glorious bomb and helping even more with the song and your character and the way that this is kind of mushroomed?
Well, I do owe them a lot of gratitude. They, and it's funny. I mean, it was one of those things that just kind of happened again. You know, we're in a gym, we're on the road doing live events, and we were in the gym one Saturday, and they said, hey, we want to do this thing where we play your song, because they love the song. And so they played the song, and I was working out, and they said, just kind of acknowledge the song or whatever. And it just kind of happened. You know, we never really planned it. They just did it in a gym full of people, you know. So we did it, and they posted it on social media. The thing blew up, and then, you know, we did more. Obviously, did like 7 or 8 more, and continued to come up to it. And even to this day, I mean, continuously, I get social media people tweeting, doing glorious bombs all over the world. And you know, you have little kids doing them, you have bombs doing them. I have no idea what they're doing, but they're doing it. You know, it's just become one of those fun, entertaining things.
What was that reaction in the gym while you're doing it, and there's so many people working out around you, and you guys are filming something?
I don't know. I didn't even really pay attention, to be honest with you. We're such in there doing our own thing, and we don't really care. I don't think we really cared at the point at the time, you know, what anybody else thought of us.
But I think that's the great thing about the business that you're in, is that you're not going to worry about what other people around you are doing or saying or anything, because you guys are kind of used to this. And I think that kind of helps with it, because it's just something that, hey, I know my character. I know what I want to do. I know it's going to be cool. And I'm not going to worry about, you know, an immediate reaction from people around me. We know what's going to work best for what we're going to do, I think.
Yeah, no, it was it's just one of those things, you know. You just kind of, the first one kind of took off, and then, you know, obviously you want to do more because you want to get it more over, and you want to get people to enjoy it. And, you know, and then you're all of a sudden you're having fun with it. Like the first one, it was like, oh, I don't know, it's kind of, I feel kind of dumb, you know, but obviously it worked. So, we continue to do more, and it's turned out awesome.
What's the one that stood out the most that you've done? And what's the one that stood out the most that you've seen that a fan has done?
Well, I'll compare the two, 'cause they're very similar. and I'm going to give Tommy Dreamer credit for it, even though I don't want to. the one that we did in the bathroom, the washroom.
Yeah.
We did that one. And then, of course, Tommy Dreamer has to be a part of the Glorious Bombs, and he has to do us by him actually sitting on the commode and then having Ron Simmons come in and do Damn. I think that was probably one of the most entertaining ones I've seen. But obviously, you know, the ones that I see with the small kids, the little girls and the little boys that are doing it, it's obviously kind of surreal, and it's a lot of fun.
I think this puts you in elite company with Ron Simmons and Daniel Bryan, with just one word, you know, encapsulating your entire character.
Yeah, I haven't really thought of it that way, but, you know, obviously those guys have had great success with that one word, and, I just kind of get my feet wet here. I've only had, a couple of televised matches, but I tell you, I mean, at Brooklyn, it was very surreal just to have that entrance and then for my song to hit and you know, almost 16,000 people sing it word for word was pretty incredible.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because, I mean, NXT took over in Brooklyn, the big entrance, you're on the riser, the choreography that's involved in that. What's going through your head as you make that entrance?
Well, I'm petrified of heights to begin with, and I didn't really tell anybody that. So, obviously being up there and coming down was a little scary. But, when you're in that moment and you have the adrenaline going, it was just one of those things. It was pretty incredible, you know, but like I said, with everybody singing the song and just the entire entrance, the music, the lighting, everything, you know, it just kind of all evolved and came together that night. And it was pretty special.
How long did it take to put that together? Because it seemed like just every move was right on cue. The way that everything hit was perfect for that night.
We rehearsed it a couple times, honestly, but I kind of had in my mind, I had a vision of what I wanted to happen. And obviously the WWE people there, the creative people, just, I mean, they're so hands-on and so intelligent when it comes to stuff like that. And obviously they've built stars for the last 30 plus years, 40 years, you know, so I was all ears, you know, I was willing to listen and do whatever they wanted. And I kind of collaborated with them with the things that I wanted to kind of, my movements when certain parts of the song hit, and I think it was a success.
Did you realize the scope of things, even with social media and just how many people, you know, have picked up on you even more so, you know, at this point in your career, once you got under the WWE umbrella, did you realize it would change this much?
Not really, but I obviously knew that the WWE was such a huge deal, you know, and obviously the biggest company in the world, you know, for what we do in this industry. And I knew that there was an opportunity here for me. I knew that there was a chance for me to get bigger and get better and be more of a household name. And that's one of the reasons why I came here. And, so far, so good.
Was it tough to leave a place you had been with for so long? I mean, you were with TNA for 12 years and you had been associated with that company for so long. Was it difficult to make that decision to leave there?
At the time, not really. I was, I don't have a negative thing to say about that company. I was treated extremely well there, for 12 years. And, financially I was taken care of honestly, it was just time for me to go. You know, I've never really got into this industry for the money. Although it's nice, you know, I've obviously been able to make a career and support my family for the last 12 years doing what I love to do. But that was just it. You know, the last 2 years at that company, I didn't love it anymore. I started to lose my passion, which was concerning to me. You know, I didn't like being away. I didn't like, you know, performing, you know, and TNA became a place where it was just a television product. And I got into this business to perform and to be on the road. And there was a time in that company where you could do that. You could go on the road, you know, and do live events. And, you know, I'm always been about learning, you know, and always had, you know, no matter how long I've been in the business or where I've been in a company, I've always wanted to continue to learn. So I'd always, you know, during those times in TNA, when we were on the road doing live events, I would always ride with guys like Bully Ray or Kurt Angle, Christian at the time, you know, guys like that, and sit under the learning tree and learn from these guys. And it got to a point the last 2 years there at TNA that, you know, we just literally went and did television and it wasn't fun for me anymore. And, I had 12 great years. And I just felt like at my age and my stage of my career, I wanted a different opportunity. And that's all I wanted. You know, my first conversation with with WWE was just that, I love an opportunity, and they give me the opportunity, and, you know, here I am today.
Yeah, you had so much success with that company, and then you get the opportunity to go to WWE. You know, looking back, you know, hindsight now, do you regret not trying to make the move to WWE sooner, or did you even explore that opportunity previously?
You know, I truly believe that everything happens for a reason. You know, my contract came up a couple times in TNA, but they're always there to answer the bell. And I was never, like I said, I was never truly, I never disliked the place, you know. Obviously, the last 2 years, like I said, were challenging for me, I guess, mentally. But, you know, I just think that this was the right time, you know. And you know, I guess looking back, who knows, you know, if I should have came earlier, if I had the opportunity to come earlier, I mean, who would have? I mean, I think everything just happens for a reason. I think that WWE and myself, you know, felt like this was the time, and so far, so good.
And I think that's one of the things, too, that, you know, you go to a place, you get comfortable, and things are going very well for you. But, you know, there comes a certain point many times where you feel like it's time for a change. You felt it was time for a change. What's it been like for you to go into NXT and you're surrounded by a bunch of different guys? You're in a new place, and I'm sure it's probably got to be reinvigorating for you.
It definitely is. You know, from the moment I walked in those doors, it was just, I was totally, you know, the passion came back right away. I mean, obviously, I was fortunate enough to, for my first, you know, experience, my first WWE experience was to be at WrestleMania in Dallas, you know, so that itself was pretty incredible. And just to meet everybody and to kind of get familiar with the NXT guys, and I can honestly say I was welcomed with open arms. I mean, it's such a great locker room, you know, the great camaraderie, you know, just the guys, the talent itself there. I mean, I'm chomping at the bit to get in the ring with all these guys. And of course, knowing some of the guys there too, you know, when I got there, made the transition a little better too. Guys like Samoa Joe and Austin Aries were there. So it's been such a great experience so far. And, you know, I'm just grateful for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's weird that, you know, now you're with NXT and Samoa Joe is there and Austin Aries is there and Eric Young is there. AJ Styles is on the WWE roster doing, you know, great things, you know, as the WWE champion. Did their move to WWE in the way that they did it, did that kind of change the landscape of the business, just to see that there were guys that were TNA, they go over to WWE, the fan base or a lot of the fan base knew who they were, and then just to see, you know, the success that they've had, you know, in that company now?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first guy that comes to mind for me, obviously, was Samoa Joe. You know, Joe and I, you know, we have a long history together before he came to WWE. And then obviously seeing him excel and succeed with NXT for the last year before I got here was kind of opened my eyes to different things and, you know, got me thinking a little bit, obviously, when my contract was coming up with TNA. So I think that it's been great for the industry. I think it's been great for sports entertainment, getting to see guys like Samoa Joe, who back in the day, I mean, let's be honest, Samoa Joe isn't the kind of guy that you would see on top in the WWE. I mean, it just goes to show that this business is evolving and the fans have such a great input now. And, you know, Samoa Joe obviously had a huge fan base coming there too. So I think it opened up, the WWE's eyes as well.
Was there ever any kind of concern that you would not use the Bobby Roode name? And if so, did you already start thinking of other names possibly to use?
Well, no, I mean, obviously, you know, the WWE had a history of changing guys' names and personas and stuff. But obviously, Joe got to keep his name. Austin got to keep his name. AJ got to keep his name. So I got to thinking, you know, I'm hoping that if I get there, I'll be able to keep what I have and but, you know, it was honestly, Triple H said, you know, that all of us, you know, guys like even Shinsuke Nakamura, we all have a fan base. You know, we have a following. So in this day and age, it would be kind of silly to change that. So I wasn't thinking of names, that's for sure. I thought if they wanted to change my name, they would probably have a name in mind. So I'm just fortunate enough to be Bobby Roode and to be, you know, comfortable out there doing what I love to do.
And that's the thing now, when you talk about there is name recognition that is built in, and we all get it. We understand that you know, there's going to be some guys that worked in other places before WWE, but if you come in and you've already got that name and it's been built up, you can just take it to another level once you get to the WWE and the impact that they have, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Samoa Joe is one of those guys that attest to that. You know, Samoa Joe has always been Samoa Joe, and now he's a household name. So
when it comes for you, do you feel like you'll be content and very happy to remain under NXT, or is this a goal where you say, I've got to make it to the WWE roster?
The way I look at it, I mean, NXT is such a hot brand. It's probably the hottest brand under the WWE umbrella right now. So it's not viewed anymore, in my opinion, as a developmental territory. You know, it is, but it's a touring brand now. And we have our own television show. And if TakeOver is any sign, I mean, selling out the Barclays Arena, you know, 15,000 plus people for an NXT event. I mean, it's a brand, you know, and I'm happy to be a part of that brand. I'm happy to be a big part of that brand right now. And wherever, you know, my career takes me, whether it be, you know, quote unquote, moving up to the main roster, or staying in NXT doing what I'm doing now, I'm just, you know, I'm quite content, you know, having my passion back for this business and doing what I love to do.
It's a lot more fun when you've got that passion, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So last thing, you've got three sons. What do they think of Dad's newfound attention and theme music?
Well, my youngest, I guess, is probably the most into it right now. So him and his buddies will play the song every now and again, but he downplays it. I don't think, I'm still dad to them. So, I think they dig the song more than they dig me.
I heard that Nick is becoming quite the lacrosse player.
Yeah, he has done. He's done quite well, and he had a really good year this year. He represented Team Ontario, won the gold medal in the Canadian Nationals, and just won an award the other night for his team being recognized for his age group. So yeah, he's been pretty successful. So I'm hoping that one day I'll be able to hang up the boots, and I'll be able to live off him and his career.
That would be very nice. Exactly. So, well, Bobby, it's been great catching up with you, man. Continued success in NXT. Look forward to seeing what comes up next for you.
Great. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Man, it was great catching up with Bobby Roode. Like I said, it had been a long time since I had last talked to him, and just a great guy, very open, very honest, very down to earth, family guy. And I love what he's doing in NXT. You know, it was time for him to leave TNA. Whatever the reasons were, and we've heard a lot of different things, but to me, it just felt like it was time. He had done everything that he could in TNA, and I think it was great that he got a change of scenery, and he was able to go to NXT. And he even said in the interview, you know, he had lost his passion, and he was just kind of going through the motions in TNA for a couple of years. And that's what happens, is that you get in this kind of business, this entertainment style, and, you know, you're trying to kind of do your own thing. And you're trying to entertain everybody. You're trying to be happy at the same time. And he was having trouble in TNA with everything that was going on there. And he needed something different. And finally, that time came where he just said, you know what? I'm out. I'm going to do something different. And he got the opportunity to go to NXT. It's amazing when it comes to that audience from the standpoint of some people wonder, like, you know, how many wrestling fans know the talent, you know, in TNA? You know, when it comes to that crossover with WWE. Now, I can definitely tell you that NXT audience knew him. And, you know, when he popped up ringside, you know, at NXT TakeOver in Dallas the night before WrestleMania, I mean, people went crazy. And people were wondering, has he actually signed with the company or not? And at that point, you know, obviously you think, yeah, he did. And he did. You know, and then to see the TakeOver event before SummerSlam up in New York, up in Brooklyn, and to see the amount of attention he got, that entrance where he's on the riser and he's coming down, and he even said so right there that, you know, he's afraid of heights and didn't want to tell everybody, and just how amazing that was with so many fans singing along to his music. I mean, it's, you know, it's incredible how much, you know, theme music, even in the wrestling business, can give somebody so much attention, and how much it helps, you know, when it comes to their character and everything. But it's just great to see Bobby there with a fresh start, even at this age in his career, 39. But, you know, he's still got plenty of years ahead of him. He's not a high-risk style guy. I think he fits in great there. And we'll see exactly what the future entails. The good thing is there's so many different guys in NXT that he now has an opportunity to work with that I want to see happen. I think it's something that a lot of people want to see for a long time is, hey, what happens if Bobby Roode went over to WWE. It went to NXT and got the opportunity there. What would we see? And now we're going to get that opportunity to see it, at least in NXT, and then we'll see what happens if he makes his way to the main roster. I would love to see him in the main roster. I don't think there's any hurry, though, for that. I mean, he obviously is good enough to be on the main roster. But right now, NXT needs some bodies. They need some depth. And they need somebody that's as good as Bobby. They need a veteran like him, somebody that can work with everybody. And we'll see what happens. Maybe he'll make his way to the main roster. If that happens, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. I hope he makes his way there. If that's in fact what he wants, I'm sure it is. You know, everybody dreams of being at WrestleMania, and I'm sure that's a goal of his as well. So it's just going to take some time because it's all on the WWE timetable right now. So we'll see what happens with Bobby, but man, is it great to see him over there and enjoying the music and enjoying the work. And, you know, we'll see what happens going forward. I mean, we get to see him probably get in the ring again with Samoa Joe at some point. We're definitely going to get to see him in the ring with Shinsuke Nakamura at some point. And who knows who else he's going to be in there with. You know, there's plenty of guys, plenty of opportunities of seeing Bobby Roode. And I think he's going to be, I'm just guessing here, but just looking at how everything's playing out, I think sooner or later, he's definitely going to be in that world title picture for NXT. He has to be. He has to be. I mean, he's Glorious Bobby Roode, right? So it was great catching up with Bobby. Hope everybody enjoyed the interview with him there. Couple other notes real quick. So No Mercy is coming up on Sunday. Another WWE pay-per-view. Yeah, another pay-per-view coming up. You know, the main event is really the, as it is with most shows, but especially in this case, the main event is really the selling card for that show. You've got AJ Styles, John Cena, and Dean Ambrose in the triple threat for the WWE championship. And that should be an unbelievable match. I think it's going to be off the charts. I do expect AJ Styles to retain the title. And I wanted to say this about AJ because I think a lot of us knew how good AJ was. It's just we wanted to see what would happen if he was on that stage. And yes, people were worried about him. And we had seen the incredible work he had done in TNA. And then he goes to New Japan and he takes his work to another level. Just another level. Not only in the ring, but I think when it comes to his confidence, his persona, his character. And that's exactly what they translated over here to WWE. And I have said this before, and I will say it again. There are so many different talented guys around the world, whether it's in any promotion, New Japan, WWE, Ring of Honor, any place in the world. I truly believe AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the world right now. He's the best. The best. And he's just taking it to another level in WWE from the standpoint that people are wondering, like, how much are they going to let him do? How good is he going to be? How is WWE going to use him? He's had a great match with everybody he's been in the ring with. A great match. Especially when it comes to the big shows. Especially when it comes to the pay-per-views. Look what he did at SummerSlam with John Cena. Look at these other big matches that he's had. Look at the match even when he won the World Championship against Dean Ambrose. He's a big-time player. And AJ Styles is the best wrestler in the world. And it's great seeing him on the WWE stage and doing his thing. And I want to see where it goes. He should be the champion for a long time. I think I say a long time, but in this day and age, how long is a long time? He should keep the title for a while. I want to see him have the championship through, or at least until WrestleMania. If you want to build up an opponent for them, then fine. Maybe that's where you do another AJ Styles John Cena match one-on-one. As John Cena continues this quest to tie Ric Flair for the most world championships in history. It'd make a lot of sense. But there's a long time between now and then. We got a long way to go. Speaking of that, so there was all the talk about Goldberg making the announcement on ESPN on Wednesday night that he would be returning to WWE and getting in the ring to take on Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. Even when Michael and I were doing the podcast, and we were doing it on Wednesday night, and we had the interview with Goldberg and Jonathan Coachman on, and we were doing like a little bit of a running play-by-play on it, and we just kept waiting for Goldberg to make this announcement. and he never made the announcement. I kind of wonder, and I don't know when they taped that interview, because it's not live. I mean, they tape it at some point. But I almost wonder if there had been so much buzz about it, the WWE said, let's not announce it here. Instead, let's announce it on our own programming. Why should we give a rating to ESPN? And they're going to get it anyway, because people are sitting there waiting for it, wondering what Goldberg's going to say. Is he going to announce this match? Is he going to announce that he's coming back? And they've built up the anticipation of it now. And obviously he didn't make the announcement. So what if they make the announcement on Raw? They could easily do it there. They could easily do it there. And they don't even have to do it for, you know, another month if they don't want to. Obviously, they can do it now if they want, you know, and then you can build up for the match, you know, in November. They can wait a few weeks if they really want. I would announce it as soon as possible if it's going to happen. And that's the other question. Is this really going to happen? Is this just a speculation? Is it not going to happen? There's some people that are very adamant about it, saying, hey, man, this deal is done. That this match is going to happen. Brock Lesnar, Goldberg, Survivor Series. We'll see. Maybe things changed. Maybe it's not going to happen. If it is going to happen, though, I could see a situation where, you know, WWE said, you know what? Let's make the announcement on Raw. Let's not make it on ESPN. Let's make it on our own programming. You know, maybe we'll throw a tease out there, you know, on social media, whether it's this week or next week, and saying, hey, Goldberg's going to be on Raw and he's got a big announcement, or Brock Lesnar or Paul Heyman are going to be on Raw and they have an announcement. Something like that. You just tease things. You throw out the breadcrumbs and you get people to tune in. And then you make the announcement. I could see that happening. I mean, there's a lot of things I could see happening. I mean, it makes sense for them to bring back Goldberg to do the match against Lesnar. I could also see happening at the Royal Rumble, which I said before, because they want to break the all-time attendance record for the Rumble. And it's going to be at the Alamo Dome. They had it there 20 years ago. They set the attendance record for the Rumble with, I think it was like 60,500 fans, and they want to break that. So they're going back to the Alamo Dome. And I think they need something more than just the Royal Rumble match itself. I mean, that's a strong match already. They got to fill out the rest of the card, so maybe they're going to do it then, if they're going to do this match. But here we go again. A lot of rumors, a lot of what-ifs, and it's a lot of, hey, we can have fun talking about it, but let's just sit back and let's see what happens. That's where we're at right now. You know, it sure sounds to me, unless somebody backed out at the last minute, unless something fell apart at the last minute, but it sure sounds to me, with everything that's been going on between the video game and, you know, Goldberg, you know, hasn't denied the rumors, denied the talk. I mean, I talked to him, as did a lot of other media, during SummerSlam weekend at the 2K party, and he just said, hey, the ball's in WWE's court. So I guess we're just going to have to wait and see if they make the announcement. But it makes a lot of sense if they want to announce it on WWE programming and not on ESPN. ESPN, yes, is a big outlet. But at the same time, it's not like this was their most watched hour for SportsCenter. It's not even on ESPN's main channel. It's ESPN2. So, and they were going to get the rating, or they were going to get the viewers no matter what, because this rumor had been out there and people wanted to see Goldberg. And people watched it and a lot of people didn't get the announcement they thought they were going to get. So now WWE has got control of this and they can say, we'll just announce it on Raw. And I could easily see that happening. You could tease it and get people to tune in that maybe weren't necessarily going to tune in on Raw, and they want to watch the show. They want to see if they're going to make this match between Goldberg and Lesnar, two huge names in the wrestling business. We'll see exactly what happens coming up here. Thanks everybody again for listening to the podcast, for downloading it. Please find us on iTunes or on Stitcher. iTunes is the most important one. Please rate and review us. I love Stitcher. I love all the other places, but we all know that iTunes is the industry standard. If you could rate and review the podcast, that would be absolutely tremendous. Please, please do that. Please support us there. We're also on SoundCloud. You can find us on the Google Play app, and we're on the TuneIn app as well for all of these different places that you can listen. You can subscribe to the Between the Ropes podcast. So we will be back, or I will be back next week. Michael Wiseman will be with me as well, as we will do our regular weekly podcast. And I believe Rich Bikini, better known to a lot of wrestling fans as Rich Brennan, will be joining me on the podcast as well. And we'll see what other guests that we can conjure up between now and then, as I'm working on a few things, just working on them right now. I can't throw out the names, but I know Rich is going to come on. But I just got to throw out some, I can't throw out the other names yet because I don't know for a fact that something being worked on. But hopefully I have another guest next week. And if not, we'll have some more in the coming weeks. Always try to do that. And always get some various guests for upcoming shows and personalities from around the wrestling world. So thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. And I will talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.